We are in a series called Rooted. We talked about being rooted in righteousness, praise the Lord. And we've also talked about being rooted in the revelation of the mighty name of Jesus. Now this morning, I want to speak to you for a while on rooted in the revelation of redemption. It is impossible to have strong faith. It is impossible to have victory, provision, and health without first being rooted in your redemption. Redemption is not something God might do. It's something that He has already done. You know, when we look at some of the definitions for redemption, basically it means to buy back, to release by paying a price, to ransom from captivity. We could say it this way, that it means complete deliverance. Amen. The American Heritage Dictionary gives the definition of redeem: to recover ownership by the paying of a specified sum. Now, over the years, we've had a wonderful woman of God in our church by the name of Billy Brim. And she has a great book called The Blood and the Glory. I highly recommend that you read it. She talks about pleading the blood. She talks about the glory of God. So I want to read an excerpt from her book this morning. She said, "As a child, I heard an evangelist tell a story which helped me understand redemption. A father and a small son worked together and built a toy boat. They enjoyed many hours sending it down the river through the village. Somehow the father passed away. When the boys sailed the boat alone, it brought back great memories until one day a big wind caught the little sail and carried the boat down the river faster than the boy could run after it. Out it sailed into the sea, and the boy missed the boat so much, for a long time it was gone. Right around Thanksgiving time, he was overjoyed to see his little boat appear in the toy shop window. He ran inside and said, 'That's my boat. That's my boat in the window. My father and I made it, and it was lost to the sea.' And the shop owner said, 'The little boat was brought in by a fisherman who found it. I'll let you have it for what it cost me.' The boy had no money, so he went to work diligently and gained enough money to purchase the boat back. At last, on Christmas Eve, he had the money, but had somehow someone bought the little boat? How thankful he was to still see it in the window. He came out of the shop, clasping his little boat to his chest, and cried, little boat, you are twice mine. I made you and I bought you.' Well, God made us in the image and likeness of God. Adam sold us out into slavery, but Jesus came back and redeemed us. He bought us back. Hallelujah. And you and I are the redeemed of the Lord. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed." Everyone say, "But I was redeemed." "We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." I like the New Century Version. It says this: "You know that in the past you were living in a worthless way." We can all say that. "A way passed down from the people who lived before us. But you were saved from that useless life. Aren't you glad that you've gone from a useless life to a redeemed life? You've gone from a useless, worthless life, glory to God, to a fruitful life." Why is that? Because you were bought, not with something that ruins like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, who is like a pure and perfect lamb. Amen. So you and I have gone from worthless nobodies to redeemed somebodies. Say with me, "I'm a somebody in the eyes of Almighty God." 1 Corinthians 6:19 says it, "For you are bought with a price." I'm a bought man. You're a bought man. You're a bought person. Amen? "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. We have been blood bought. We are part of the blood bought church. And this blood bought church is not going down in this day and this hour. This blood-bought church is going to rise and shine in the days of glory upon this earth. We have been purchased by blood. We are blood-bought. Amen. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. You are worth the blood of the Lamb. He shed His precious blood for you, and He shed His precious blood for the precious fruit of the earth. In the book of Ephesians, Chapter 1 and verse 7, I'd like for you to read this with me. Ready, read. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now notice this phrase, in whom we have. What does that mean? In Christ we have. We're not trying to get this. We already have it. In whom we have redemption. Amen. And then look at Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 24th verse. It says, being justified. Now, justified means being declared righteous. You have been declared righteous by the all righteous one. Being justified freely by His grace. Now, notice, through the redemption that is where? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our redemption is in Christ, not in us. Amen. Not in our works. Not in our good looks. It has not been earned. We receive our redemption by faith. So I want to encourage you this morning. Do not let the enemy keep you from receiving your redemptive rights. Amen. He'll come along and tell a bunch of lies. He'll bring back pictures to you of what you used to be. Well, you ain't what you used to be. You've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not us, but Christ lives in us. Amen. We are not what we used to be. We are now in Christ Jesus. So in whom we have, in Christ we have. So we're not going to take the bait of condemnation. We're not going to look at our past. Now the reason we don't look at our past is because God does not look at our past. As a matter of fact, He said in the book of Psalms, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And then in Isaiah 43:25, He said, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions, and I will not remember your sins anymore. He has put your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. So don't go fishing for them. Don't take the bait of Satan, telling you, you don't deserve it. You're not good enough. Everybody knows in the natural man, we don't deserve it. Amen. But in Christ, we do deserve it. Because Jesus paid the price. Amen. The matter of fact is this. You are in union with Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Say this with me this morning. I have been joined unto the Lord, and I am one spirit. In other words, you are in union with Him. You are one with Him, and He is one with you. I in them, and thou in me. Amen? So declare it again. I am in union with Christ. So it's because His life has become our life. Now, here's a scripture that I use often when I teach on righteousness. It's such a rich verse. It's found in 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter. And notice with me in verse 30. And we're talking about in union with Christ, in whom we have. Let's read verse 30 together. But of him are you in Christ. There's that phrase again. We are where?
In.
We are in Christ. And in Christ, you can do all things. And in Christ, you have health. And in Christ, you have strength. And in Christ, you have wisdom. And in Christ, you have holiness. And in Christ, you have righteousness. And in Christ, he will sanctify you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Woo! Glory to God. But of him are you in Christ. Now notice, who of God has been made unto us wisdom. Because we're in Christ, we have wisdom. And righteousness. And sanctification. What's the last one?
Redemption.
What are we talking about this morning?
Redemption.
We're talking about redemption. So since Jesus has been made unto us redemption, then everything redemption includes is already provided in him.
Amen.
I don't know whether you got that or not.
Amen.
That means that in everything redemption includes is already provided in him. So what is it that this glorious redemption accomplished? Well, most in the church world believe that redemption only covers redemption from sin. And by and large, that is the most important thing. Amen? The Bible declares that he has forgiven us of all our iniquities. It is certainly important. It is of utmost importance that you know that you are no longer under the bondage of sin. Satan is no longer our master. He cannot make us do anything outside of the will and the plan of God. As a matter of fact, in Romans 6:14, it says this, "For sin shall no longer have dominion over you." We are no longer dominated by sin. Satan is no longer our Lord. So when temptation comes, we lean on the Holy Ghost on the inside of us that will help us not to yield to sin. Amen. And the more aware you are of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, the more sanctified of a life you will live. The more aware of you are of the Spirit within, indwelling on the inside of you, it'll be easier for you to resist the temptation. Why is that? Because no one in their right mind wants to grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we yield to sin, it grieves the Holy Ghost. That does not mean we lose our salvation, but we lose our sense of communion. We lose our sense of righteousness. Well, thank God, he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, what? From all unrighteousness. Understand this. What you yielded to before you were born again, you do not need to yield to any longer. Amen? For sin shall no longer have dominion over us. We are over sin. Sin is not over us. Sin is under our feet. Woo! Glory to God. Well, I'm about to preach myself happy already. Amen. So Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And again, the church world, by and large, only believe that we are redeemed from sin. But we are redeemed from so much more than sin. You know, when you look at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All his benefits." Notice these benefits. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases." Let's read verse 4 together. "Who redeems thy life from destruction." Has anybody seen their life since they've been born again saved from destruction? Saved from annihilation? Has anybody ever experienced protection from an accident? Glory to God. He redeems your life from destruction. Maybe you got a bad report from a doctor, but oh, thank God, Dr. Jesus is still making house calls. He is still Jehovah Rapha. He is still the Lord that healeth thee. Has anybody ever experienced His sustaining, redeeming power in their physical bodies? God is merciful. He redeems our life from destruction. But not only that, He crowns us with loving kindness. And what else? Tender mercies. Tender mercies. Thank God for the mercy of God. You know, some of us lived some pretty rough lives before we were born again. And the devil put some things on us. And the devil would like you to believe, well, you know, you just made your bed, you got to sleep in it. No, thank God for the mercy of God. I said, thank God for the mercy of God. The Bible says they are new every morning. Verse 5, amen. You can shout over this one. Who satisfies thy mouth? Stop right there. He satisfies your mouth with good things. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Woo, glory to God. So He satisfies your mouth with good things. And what's, look, read the rest. Are you ready for this? So that, come on. Some of you need to wake up a little bit. So that thy youth. Not your youth being renewed, your youth removed, your youth being renewed. Amen. So what do you say? We take all the benefits. What do you say? We get a revelation of our redemption in Christ Jesus and take it all and leave nothing on the table. Redemption from the curse. Galatians 3:13. I want you to read it with me. You read it as I drink. Ready? Read. Go ahead. Christ will redeem us. No, He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. You are purchased with the blood of Jesus. Now, if you did an in-depth study on what the curse of the law is, you'll want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, the whole chapter. Verses 1 through 14 talks about the blessings. And verses 15 to the end of the chapter talks about the curses. How many of you know the blessings are good and come from God? The curses are bad and come from the devil. And a lot of it has to do with how obedient we are to the will of God and to the plan of God in order for us to be positioned for the blessings of God. Amen. So you can be redeemed from the curse of the law and, number one, not know it, or number two, know it and not do anything about it. So this redemption belongs to you. It is a forever, ever settled fact. The Bible said He entered in once into the holy place and He obtained an eternal redemption for us. So if you study the curse of the law and the blessings, we understand that redemption from the curse of the law means redemption from spiritual death, redemption from poverty and lack, and redemption from sickness and disease. Because you have been redeemed means that you do not have to take what's in the curse. Our part is to be obedient. And when the curse knocks on our door, we are to stand up against it. And we are to resist it. And we are to bind it. And we are to forbid it in any area of our lives. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth. Somebody says, well, I'm waiting on the Lord to bind it. I'm just not tenacious enough. No, you need to rise up yourself. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Say with me, I'm not taking it. We're just not going to take it anymore. So I want to center in on a couple of thoughts in these last moments of this message. Revelation of our redemption. Now, healing is our redemptive right. Say that with me. Healing is my redemptive right. Now, let's look over at Isaiah 53. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and the 5th verse. Notice with me. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. So we could say it this way, was he not wounded so that we didn't need to be wounded? Amen. He paid the price so we wouldn't have to pay the price. He was wounded for our transgressions. Next, he was bruised for our iniquities. So we could say, he was bruised so we wouldn't need to be bruised. Amen? Amen. This is the great exchange. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So we could say this with me. He took our fear. He took our torment. He took all anxiety upon him on Calvary's cross. So that we wouldn't have to live a fearful, intimidated, and anxious life. Peace has been purchased in your redemption. Amen. And peace is so important for the days in which we live. We must not allow our hearts and our minds to be disturbed by what we see on the outside. Because what you see on the outside, by and large, it ain't good. That's why we need to have a higher sight, a sight of a better kind. What we do is we look into the law of liberty and we see our redemption. We see our protection. You know, if you allowed the world to talk to you, you'd just shake in your boots about terrorism and about this and about that. But we are not in that kingdom. We are in another kingdom. We don't live by what we see on the outside. We live by who we know and what we see on the inside. Amen. And so, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the Amplified says, the punishment needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. But notice he didn't stop there. And with his stripes, we are healed. He took your sickness. He took your disease so you wouldn't have to take it. Say to me, what he took, I don't need to take. And what he bore, I don't need to bear. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We have a right to be healed. Somebody says, well, but Pastor Mark, I've got symptoms. I've got symptoms. You have faith to do something about those symptoms. Now listen very carefully. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him, does it not? But it does not say without symptoms, it's impossible to please him. It does not say without debt, it is impossible to please him. God, listen very carefully. God does not require us to be free from symptoms or debt to please him. His requirement is for us to stay faith-filled. Amen. I'm not done yet with this thought. Faith is not pretending that you do not have a problem. Faith is refusing to let the problem have the final word. So don't live under condemnation just because you got some debt, just because you got some symptoms. Debt and symptoms are subject to change by the eternal living word of God. Amen. Amen. Faith, listen to this. Faith does not wait for things to change before it believes. Faith believes so that things can change. Ooh, glory to God. And you've got faith. You have a measure of mountain moving faith on the inside of you. With your faith, symptoms can change. With faith, debt can change. With faith, circumstances can submit. So let us rise up. Let us rise up and declare our redemption. It's subject to change. Now, we started on Isaiah 53, 5. Now, I want you to notice in verse 6 and 7. This is so important, these last few minutes of this message. so vital. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Say amen.
Amen.
Now notice in verse 7. He was oppressed. Certainly he was. He was afflicted. Notice this. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. In other words, he took it and he was silent. Not that we could take it and be silent. He took it and was silent so that you and I could not be silent and open up our mouths boldly and declare what he has done. Did you wear your clothes today? Psalm 107 verse 1 and 2. Psalm 107 verse... Did you wear your clothes today? Did you wear your shouting clothes? Amen. Let's read this together. Ready, read, everybody. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Hey, we could camp right there for a minute, couldn't we? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let's say this a few times. Praise ye the Lord, for you are good. And your mercy endureth forever. One more time. Praise the Lord, for you are good, and your mercy endureth. It endures forever. Glory to God. Now remember, he didn't open his mouth. Did he not open his mouth so you could just stay silent yourself? No, no, no. Notice verse 2. It says in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Woo, glory to God. He remains silent so you and I could open our mouth wide and speak up. Look at your neighbor and say, speak up. Look at your other neighbor and say, speak up. Point to yourself and say, speak up. This is a problem with a lot of Christians. They're not speaking up. They're just remaining silent when the enemy comes in. They're not talking their redemption. When you come into the kingdom of God and into the family of God, we've got a new language. And this new language that we have is the language of redemption. And in order for us to express this glorious language of redemption, we've got to open our mouths. We must open our mouths wide and speak up. Well, Pastor Mark, you know, I meditate on the word, I ponder the word, and I think the word. But where you're missing it is this. Meditation also includes verbalization. Meditation requires speech. You know, when Joshua was to lead the children of Israel, God spoke to him and said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you'll have good success.
Amen.
Now, Rotherham's translation of that word meditate in Joshua 1:8 literally is you must talk to yourself. In other words, you must open your mouth and give your redemption a voice.
Come on.
We could call it the voice of redemption.
Yeah.
The voice of the redeemed. You know, I think if I start a TV program or something, I think I'll call it the voice of redemption. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. He did not open his mouth for you to shut up. He opened his mouth so you could rise up and tell the devil to shut up. He's always talking, always talking, always talking. You need to outdo him and be talking more. If you want to shut him up, glory to God, say what God's word says.
Yes.
It's vital not just to speak it, not to just think it, but to speak your redemption.
Speak it.
Somebody said, well, my bills aren't getting paid. You got to speak up. My body's acting up. Speak up.
Amen.
Think about it. Jesus spoke up.
Yeah.
When he was on this earth, he spoke up. He spoke to the wind and to the sea. And he said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. He went over to Peter's house one day, and Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. Jesus that day did not lay hands on her. What Jesus did, he spoke to the fever. He spoke to winds. He spoke to fevers. Well, you know what? If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If he opened his mouth and spoke to fevers and to the wind, so should we. Now, in closing, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 22. Amen. Acts, the 22nd chapter. Say it with me, I have been redeemed. Jim Caseman wrote a little pamphlet years ago, Brother Jimmy, called Making Our Redemption a Reality.
Amen. Yeah.
I just thought of that. Making our redemption a reality.
Amen.
And then he goes in that little pamphlet, and he talks about how our confessions rule us. And we literally possess what we confess. And then he led us down a bunch of scriptures about our redemption that we can say daily and that we can say regularly. I've been doing that for years. And I'm telling you, folks, it's made a big difference in my life. It took me out of so much stuff and so much trouble. I mean, not even right after I got born again, but even today, his word in my mouth, his word coming out of my heart and coming out of my mouth, it keeps me, it sustains me, it provides for me. Amen.
Amen.
So make your redemption a reality. Don't wait for somebody to do it for you. Lift up your voice. I said, lift up your voice. You have a voice. And your voice needs to be heard.
Amen.
It not only needs to be heard by the enemy, amen,
amen,
but it also needs to be heard by yourself.
Yeah.
Faith will come much more quickly as you hear yourself speaking the word of God over your life.
Yeah.
It is wonderful for others to speak God's word over you, and it is biblical, and it is scriptural. But the highest and best is for you to take this word, believe it, and open up your mouth and make your redemption a reality.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I just don't know whether I'm saved or not. Well, did you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Did you confess him as your Lord and Savior? With the heart, did you believe unto righteousness? And with the mouth, did you make Jesus the Lord of your life through confessing? Amen. So stop thinking about whether you're saved or not. You are saved.
Yes.
Say with me, I am saved.
I am saved.
I am born of God.
I am born of God.
And I have world overcoming faith residing on the inside of me. I am a child of God. No doubt about it. I'm born of God. So that takes the confusion out of it. You know, when I grew up, you didn't know whether you were saved or not. I mean, every Saturday night, you had to run to church and confess all these sins. I got tired of confessing all my sins. They gave me too many rosaries to pray. Now, I love the Catholics. Thank God for them. But understand this. You have been born of God. You are born again. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 22, here's the setting. This is a graphic picture of what we're talking about this morning. A graphic picture. You know, everywhere the Apostle Paul went, there was revival and riots. Right? Everywhere Paul went. I was reading some of the things that Paul went through, and I'm thinking, dear Lord, I have no right to complain. You know, I have no right to complain about, you know, our garbage disposal going out. I have no right to complain, you know, about needing to replace my tires. I have not been beaten with rods. I'm not in perils among my own countrymen. I'm not in perils among false brethren. All those things. Man, Paul went through it. What an example. So when you think you got it tough, read 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yeah, come on now.
And just thank God that you live in America. Thank God you have freedom of speech. Woo-hoo. You have freedom of speech in the kingdom of God. Thank God you live in America. Is America perfect? Absolutely not. But you go to some of these other places, you'll crawl to get back to the USA. I've been to some of those third world countries, and they are rough. Amen. So everywhere Paul went, these are side journeys. Everywhere Paul went, I mean, there was either a revival or a riot, both at the same time. America right now is experiencing revival. And we're also experiencing riots. I'm going to live over on the revival side. I'm not going to be consumed with the riot side. I'm going to be more consumed with the revival side. I'm going to pray about the riot side, but I'm going to live over here on Revival Avenue, right down near Victory Street. Glory to God. How about you? Are you on the victory side? We are on the victory team. Amen. So either revivals or riots. And man, the people would get stirred up. I mean, the mobs would gather and they would literally try to kill Paul. I mean, they stoned him one time. They did everything. Listen to this. They did everything in their power to get Paul to shut up. To get Paul not to speak up. The title of this message this morning is Speak Up. Speak Up. Speak Up. There came a messenger of Satan to stop Paul because of the great revelation he had. Paul besought the Lord that it might depart from him. And the Lord told him, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. And so here's the setting. The mob is trying to kill him. And then Rome was the government in that area. And so the Romans then intervened. And they came on the scene. And I'll pick it up in verse 24. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle. And bade him that he should be examined by scourging. Scourging is wicked. That's what they did to Jesus. A cat of how many tails? A cat of nine tails. They brutally beat Jesus so badly that his visage did not even appear as a human being anymore. And that's what they were going to do with the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he was a believer. And because he decided that he wasn't going to be quiet, but he was going to speak up. Come on, somebody. And as they bound him with thongs, get the picture. They bound him, they tied him to a post. And they're getting ready with that cat of nine tails to scourge him and to beat him mercilessly. They bound him with thongs. But Paul spoke up. I said, Paul spoke up. Aren't you glad Paul and Silas spoke up in their midnight hour? You got to do the same thing. And here's what Paul said. Paul said to the centurion, who was a high governmental official in the Roman army, that stood by, and it said, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is Roman and uncondemned? What's he doing? Say it with me. He's speaking up. Do we have a right as citizens of the kingdom of God to speak up? When the centurion, verse 26, heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what you're doing, for this man is a Roman." He was a Roman citizen. What's happening now? He's not getting beat. Say it with me. He's not getting beat. And why is he not getting beat? Some of you are getting that. Some of you are already at lunch. And why is he not getting beat? Why will you not get beat? Why will you not get beat in up in life? Because you speak up. Speak up. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Ooh, glory to God. We'll notice the progress here. In verse 27, then the captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yes, I am. Yes, I am." Verse 28, and the chief captain answered, "With a great sum I obtained this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Paul said, "I've been born into this." Woo-hoo-hoo, glory to God. Are you not a citizen of the kingdom of heaven?
Yes.
Is not your name written in the Lamb's book of life?
Yes.
Do you not have some rights?
Yes.
So when the enemy comes to tie you up, what are you going to do?
Speak up.
There you go.
Say so. Uh-huh.
You're going to speak up. You're going to speak up. And don't wait for the test to get real crucial before you speak up. Speak up regularly. Speak up when things are going well. Speak up when you're on the mountain. Speak up when all your bills are paid. Speak up when your body feels just dandy. Train yourself to speak up at all times. And when the test comes, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak up. Amen. Say to me, out of the abundance of my heart, I'm going to speak up. Woo, hallelujah. You just tell the enemy, you cannot do this in my life. You cannot do this in my mind. You cannot do this in my family. I forbid it. In the name above every name, I forbid it. For I'm speaking up. Speaking up regularly. Speaking up consistently will build a fortress of strength around you. Speak up. Speak up. Gird up the loins of your mind. And train yourself to diligently to say what I have said.
Amen.
See, confession basically is this. It's saying the same thing that God has said about you. Amen and amen. Verse 29. Look at this. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain was also afraid. For he knew that he was a Roman because he had bound him. Does this not portray the enemy?
Yeah.
When you speak up and you submit yourself to God, the devil has no choice to submit to the words that you speak up. Did you get anything out of this today? Let's all stand and thank God for the word that we have heard. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I think we ought to speak up a little bit. How about that? Let's just make some declarations. Amen?
Yeah.
Raise a hand toward heaven and say, "Thank you, Lord,
that you have given me
the same spirit of faith that Paul had." You've given all of us the same spirit of faith that David had. I believe, and therefore I speak.
I believe,
and I declare that by his wounds, I have been healed. I believe, and I declare, and I speak up that my God is faithful to me. And He liberally supplies my every need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I firmly believe in my heart, and I declare with my mouth, because I have the spirit of faith, no matter what comes my way, no weapon that is formed against me shall ever prosper. No matter what comes my way, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For You have given Your angels charge over me. The angel of the Lord encamps around about me, and He keeps me and protects me in all of my ways. Woo, glory to God. I believe and I declare I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I believe and I declare I am more than a conqueror. I'm going to speak up. This comes to me. If you want to speed up your manifestation, you need to get with it and speak up. Speak it up. Speak it up. Speak it up. Declare it. Declare it. I don't care how long symptoms have been in your body. You just declare by His stripes you are healed anyway. Keep a walking by faith. Keep rejoicing by faith. Keep praising by faith. Keep praying by faith. Keep giving thanks always by faith. Glory to God. It is the will of God. It is the plan of God for my people to speak up, to sing up, to dance up, to shout up. Glory to God, and to rejoice up. Amen. Let's do that right now. Let's give Him praise today.